All right. Well, please join me in welcoming Ayon from Springville to our stage.
My name's Ayon. I am an alcoholic. I really enjoyed seeing so many newcomers come up and take chips, because most of what the big book talks about is working with others and working with the newcomers. And I'm just awestruck that the room is so full. I mean, I was not expecting to see this many people here tonight, and I'll try to tell you a little about my what happened, what happened, and what it's like in there. I was in a meeting the other night, and we were talking about resentments. And somebody said what age they were when they had their first resentment that they could remember. I agree with one of them. I think I was 5 years old when my youngest brother was born, and I lost my place in my mama's lap. And I never thought of that as being a resentment, other than I knew that I didn't have my place anymore in life. And over the years, that's been a pattern that when life would get comfortable, things would change, and I wouldn't have my place the way I wanted it. I think most of us have experienced that with jobs. You have a job you really like. They change it. You don't like it anymore. And like everything in life, that's a big part of the program. Acceptance. You either learn how to accept it, or you're going to be downright uncomfortable. I grew up in a Southern Baptist household, and there was no alcohol in the house. But I'm number 8 of 9 children, and I have older siblings, but they're with alcoholics in their houses. So I didn't drink in high school, started drinking a little in college, but not socially. It'd be family functions. I'd go to a christening or something like that. My first time I ever drank too much was probably one of the first times I ever drank. It was at an Easter christening, and my brother-in-law would kept me with beer, and they had it in a wash tub, and it was a hot August day, and I drank till my face went numb. I don't know if any of you have ever done that or not, but I would just be numb, and then I wouldn't drink for half an hour and a half, because this Christine party started early. It was not like one of these 2 or 3 hour parties. It started early, and I did that off and on all afternoon and all evening. And then when I got home and was in bed, my head was spinning. I'd never experienced that before either. And this is how my drinking went. Is I could overshoot the mark, but when I really didn't like how I felt, I wouldn't repeat that exact thing again. So I never drank till my face went numb again. I never drank till my head spun around. Then I can remember one time sweet drinks would make me sick in my stomach. I mean, literally sick. So I found there were certain things I could drink, certain I couldn't. And I ended up married and the wife of someone who worked in corporate America. And first time we went out socially, it was one of these things. You meet in a lounge, then you have drinks, then you go to dinner, and then you have drinks, and then you eat your dinner, and then you have drinks, and then you go to another lounge, and you have drinks. That was corporate America when I was in my mid-20s or so. And we're in this lounge, and I can't decide what to drink, because sweet drinks make me sick at my stomach. I don't want to drink I don't want to be dressed to the nines and drink beer. And so somebody suggested scotch. So believe it or not, I never got sick drinking scotch. So that became my drink for a long, long time. I have to admit, though, that as time went on, I quit doing the social drinking and started doing the drinking that you do for feelings. I had a father-in-law that loved to call me stupid and dumb. And I hated it when they came because I hated that. And it wasn't just me. He called his own son the same names. And I had no tolerance for that. And one time they come over, and up to this point, the booze stayed in the liquor closet. I only did it when there was an occasion to drink. So I went and fixed one of those nice, big, tall scotches. That means very little water, you know that. That's another thing good about scotch. It's a light color, so you could put very little water in it, and it looks the same color as a bourbon that's mixed with a lot of water. So, but it made that visit okay. And I think that's a turning point, is when booze made the unpleasant side of life okay. Then I started drinking for the wrong reasons. I started drinking to get a fix. I started drinking to do things. It seemed as though I went from a periodic drinker over the years to a daily drinker and a periodic drunk. I did that for a long time, and then somewhere along the line, life just did not ever seem to feel right anymore. It's like there was a lot of despair. Another word for it was depression, but alcohol is a depressive, so I would drink myself into those moods and drink like out of those moods, and I just did it forever. I had two children, and after I'm sober, I realized my kids did not know me before I started drinking, because their memories was after I was already drinking too much. And we had a crazy household. I mean, I drank. My husband did rage. The kids were home, but they did. One of them more or less stayed in his room. The other one went out. He started running away from home when he was young, and so it took me. When things got bad, it still took me about 9 months to get to program. I don't know if every one of you came in here thinking you were an alcoholic, but I sure didn't. I came in as a codependent. But before I got here, I'll tell you the story that changed things where it finally got to recovery. My husband and I... He's now an ex, has been for a number of years. No complaints there. We weren't at home. And so we had these two teenage boys, one a junior in high school, one a senior in high school. And I've never gotten a truthful answer out of anybody on what happened. But they had friends in and out that evening. In fact, one of them went off and went to the L.A. County Fair. The other one, as I say, there's no truthful story to this other than everybody, all the kids in high school at that time said they were at my house at night, whether they were or not. But somebody had a knife, but nobody got hurt, and somebody this. And so, however it went, the police got called, and they didn't come because I lived in unincorporated Claremont. So the county didn't want to come. The city didn't want to come. They since changed laws where if there is a call, somebody, the closest will respond. But nobody wanted to come, but they kept getting phone calls. And so I don't know why, but all of a sudden they decided somebody had better come. Well, when they did come, they cordoned off the street. They had the helicopter. They had the lights down. They had the bullfrog, bullhorn saying, everybody get out. And that's bad enough, except the helicopter crashed on my house. Now, I'm someone who wants to look good. You cannot look good when there is a tail rotor in the windshield of your car and the top rotor through your roof and your kitchen. Well, we weren't at home that night, so we kept calling and didn't get any answers. And the next morning, I do get an answer, and I ask how things are, and my oldest son says, not too good. Well, not too good, but not too good. Well, we changed our plans and we got back home, but faster than that was the L.A. County Sheriff was very fast. They had a trailer out, they had lights, they had a helicopter disassembled on their trailer out of there, and no sign that they crashed a helicopter in my front yard and on top of my house that night. But my house had that look about it. And my car had that look about it. And all I know is I don't know the truth about what went on that night. As far as I know, there were four other teenagers there. But as I say, every teenager that lived anywhere within 20 miles said that they were there that night, because that's where things were happening. And I do know that they weren't really in the house, because we had a U-shaped driveway, and the party was one of these drive-through parties. I've never been to one, but I understand the kids know how to do it really good. And but, you know, I wanted things to look good, so the car was gone that next day in the shop. The contractor was over. And in about 3 days, there was no physical sign that anything had happened around my house. It was not a happening event, except for the weirdos that would call me on the phone that said they saw it in the L.A. Herald, and they wanted to tell me how we were going to go to wherever. Things just didn't get right after that. Definitely things did not get right after that. A few months later, we put one son in treatment, and he's done a remarkable job, and he did program for about a year or so, and then he took another path, but he's not drunk. I don't think he's had a drink since then. My other son had a lot of problems, and I'll touch on that later, or I may not touch on it later, but he had a lot of problems off and on all of his life. But when my oldest son was in treatment, we go to these family meetings, and he ratted on me. I don't know if you've ever had anybody rat on you, but he did. He told them I drank. And he told them I had a drinking problem. But I wasn't ready to say I had a drinking problem yet. Except that while he was in treatment, we went to Hawaii. And when you fly to Hawaii, they start offering you Mai Tais on the airplane, and they offer them to you forever and ever and ever. It doesn't matter where you go, there is something to drink when you're in Hawaii. So he's in treatment. I don't have a problem, but I'm drinking whatever they put in front of my face. And then when we go back home and we continue this family care stuff, they won't let him come out. It was a four-week program. They won't let him come home because there's alcohol in the house. Well, I had to promise that there wouldn't be any drinking in the house. And I did that for about 3-4 months. I limited myself to one drink every Sunday evening. Nothing else. So when we read the big book and it says you try this, 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 I didn't know I was trying it, but I sure was. And then about we were having company over, and I wanted to be a good hostess, so I bought what it was that I knew that they drank. Now, I could have bought just a half a bottle or something like that, but if somebody's going to have something to drink, I'm going to buy the half gallon. Well, sure, there was only one or two drinks that evening, but then I finished drinking that half gallon. And then I started mixing white wine and apple juice, and I love to work in the yard, but I was sipping all along. And mind you, I'm occasionally going to an AA meeting as a guest. And but emotionally, I didn't feel good inside. I did not feel good at all inside. So I made my better decisions when my husband was out of town. So I decided I needed to do something about my codependency. And they wouldn't take me in for treatment on an outpatient basis, so I checked myself into a treatment center that treated codependents and alcoholics and addicts and this and that and the other. So I started off at the meetings they sent us to saying, on my own, I'm a codependent. I really heard what I needed to hear at one of the meetings I went to that told me I was right where I needed to be, but I couldn't come out and just say, So I became a codependent alcoholic. You know, I did not want to be an alcoholic because I knew that I couldn't drink. I hear people say, well, I came to AA so I could learn how to drink socially. I just knew that if you say those words, you're not supposed to ever drink again. But it didn't take long before I owned an alcoholic, and that was it. And so I've managed to put together a little over 23 years. And over the years, the majority of the people that's in my life these days are recovering members of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know that anywhere I go, wherever I go, I can find someone to talk to, pick up the phone, call. I was a good picker on sponsors, and my first sponsor took me to meetings, showed me where they were. Did a lot of, and then when she was 5 years sober, she decided she didn't have the problem anymore. So I chose the sponsor I have now at that point, and I chose her because she tells it to me like it is. She doesn't take my manipulation. She doesn't, you know, she sees it and she says it like, and I don't mean she does this all the time. We were friends before we ever were sponsee, and so how we handle that is once in a while I'll say I need to talk to my sponsor. Once in a while she'll say I need to be your sponsor. It's been good to have someone that will not let me cover up some of the things. In fact, she's the first person who finally told me, she says, you just don't like Jim, do you? And that was my husband. And I thought about that. You know, she was right. I had quit liking that man years ago. It just took me a long time to say bye-bye. And I did this thing that, okay, you don't make any changes in your first year? I didn't. But they put us in long-term counseling immediately. When I was in treatment, they didn't put us in short-term counseling. They knew we needed the long-term counseling. And it took me about, four and a half years before I just decided I needed to make the changes to make my life better for me. And I don't advocate getting out of relationships. I don't advocate staying in one that's too bad. But I've been much happier because we just didn't do anything together. We didn't, we lived together and that was it. And I've become quite adventurous since I've been sober. I've gone off camping on the deck of the boat going up the Inside Passage to Hawaii. I've done a few other things, but you know, for someone who stayed home and never did anything, that was quite adventurous to do that. So when I got my divorce papers, my thought was I'll put it with my marriage license. And then I remembered, I tore that thing up. Somewhere 10 or 15 years before I said bye-bye. And the relationship wasn't bad all the time. We just didn't have an awful lot in common anymore. And I needed more of life for me. And I have since done a good job of doing my life for me, not doing it for someone else. And I moved to Springville full time a little over 3 years ago. I bought my house a little before I moved up here, but I've always lived in cities. I mean, the smallest city I'd lived in as an adult was New Orleans. The next smallest was Houston. The next one was L.A. So I come to Springville, and I live outside of Springville. So it's beautiful. I get to see, but I was just not used to the quiet and the solitude, and I loved it when I was up here, but I'd start getting squirrely. I don't know. Now I can stay here day after day after day after day, week after week, and month after month, and I don't get squirrely. But it took me a while to adjust to that. But I've made a lot of good friends, and I'm looking at this. I mean, there's three tables of my friends right here with us tonight, and I am so proud and honored for that. My life has been good, but my life has also had some tragedy in it. And my youngest son never could get this program. And 3 years ago, he goes out partying one night, and he does not come back home. He goes out to listen to a band that he likes playing, and then he went out partying with friends afterwards. And there were drugs as well as the alcohol. and he did not make it back home that night. And I hope that any one of you who thinks about going out and partying can make it back, because there's not a moment in my day that I don't miss him. And I know every one of us in this room has lost somebody. And I honor his memory. I wish I could have made him sober. I wish I could have made him not use the stuff. And I do know that he loved me. I loved him. And it took me about 2 years before I could put a smile on my face. And I now can put a smile on my face, but it does not mean his memory is not in my heart every moment. And I still every night have trouble going to sleep. And I just hope every one of you in this room that's clean and sober or not yet clean and sober will stay that way, because there's somebody out there that loves you, and there's somebody out there that will miss you. And I do know that I'm blessed to have the rest of my family with me. I have one son who likes to have children. He and his wife like to have children. And every couple of years I get blessed with a new grandchild. And one time he says, well, I know you think I have too many children. I said, no, you can have as many children as you want. That's more kids that I can love. And then one day he tells me, he says, Mom, you weren't as nice to me as you are to my kids. And there again, I say, that was not my job when I was raising you to be nice. It's my job now to to be nice to my grandkids. And to and about once every year or two, I tell him I love him. I should do it more often, but he knows I love him. And this is also, I didn't tell you my last truck. This is also my son that the last time I drank, I threw everything he had out in the driveway. He did not live at home anymore. I threw everything he owned out in the driveway, not because of anything that he had done. It had to do with how I was feeling about life that night. And I made amends to him. And actually, I live right next to him right now. These are other things. A gift of the program. Family and friends that we alienate, that we want to have in our life, we can make the amends and we can have them there. And trust takes a long time to reestablish, but it comes about. And I don't like doing this, to tell you the truth. I'm just now getting around to telling you that. I just don't feel that I have as much to offer as I would like to have, but I know I'm sitting up here getting a lot of love coming to me from about 100 people in here, or 70 or 60 or whatever. So that's part of the program. We learn to unconditionally love our friends and our family and other people we know. And I wish everybody a lot of success in life. And I'll tell you, my first 2 years I went to a meeting every day. I needed a meeting every day. Then my next 3 or 4 years, I went to about 5 meetings a week. I still go to 2 or 3 meetings a week on a regular basis. I call, I talk to somebody in the program on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I have people that call and talk to me. It is a connection that I don't want to break, or I don't want to ever have broken for me. And I hope each of you have the same connection with people in your life. And I do thank you for allowing me to come.